Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
Back again. All right. Just getting the, sorry, it was a little late today. I have no excuse because there's no traffic. But Reggie, you're right where you're supposed to be. That's the saving grace. That's the glue right there. Always ready and willing and able. Love that. So, and you know I'm usually always early. So, but got caught up today. Part of what I'm going to talk about later. So why don't we dispense with this pre-show chit-chat and get right to it, okay? All right. You feeling good? Still okay. Very good for you. Wash your hands. You're taking my advice. And I think it's great that we're both still COVID-free after so long. So we're doing something right. Anyway, here we go. Put it in the book. Show 205. All right, here we go. Everything okay? The needles are bumping. They're going to be jumping today. Believe me, they will be jumping. Here we go. Star, smile, strong. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNplus.com, or this podcast is found wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. Whatever platform it is, you go to that platform, you subscribe, you rate this podcast so others in the world will know just how much you like it. But there is no better endorsement of how much you like it than if you pass it on. So tell your friend. Tell your enemies. Tell everybody. Send them a link. Send them a message. Send them the word loud and clear that your favorite podcast on a weekly basis is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. If you are a longtime listener, or perhaps you just recently discovered us, one way or the other, your devotion is appreciated for long-timers, and your company is welcome to newcomers. If you like what you hear, and you're wondering, where did this come from, or what is he talking about? Don't forget, you can always go to WGNplus.com. Go to the podcast section. They've redesigned the website, in fact, much more easy to navigate. Just go to podcast. You'll see a listing right in the first column there is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Click on that, and you'll find all previous 204 episodes, which can only mean one thing. Welcome to episode 205. So, it's a COVID-19 world, isn't it? Everything that we do or think about, I would assume these days over this last month and most likely longer, depending on where you live, is just in the prism of COVID. It's impossible not to be. Our daily routines are completely changed, and now we're actually creating new daily routines, which is funny. And now what will be interesting to see when this does finally end and things get back to the new normal, whatever that is, and that is certainly up for debate. But it will be interesting to see how much of what we have found ourselves doing now to occupy ourselves, to keep ourselves stimulated, to keep ourselves active, how much of these new routines or these new habits that we're developing will remain in our lifestyle, will remain in our daily routines, that perhaps wouldn't have been there if not for this. As I've said many times, I'm a half full guy. And I snicker because if you really knew me, you'd know that I'm probably not a half. If you listen to me on a regular basis, you know that I'm probably not a half full guy. But that's kind of like the joke that I say now. My wife gets a kick out of that. In fact, I can't remember the circumstances, and I'll have to ask her. But I tend to be, as I said many times, a realist, which many can also misinterpret as a pessimist. And I'm not a pessimist. I have as big of dreams and big as hopes as anyone on the planet. But I'm also founded or grounded in reality as well. I'm not just some, you know, blind faith kind of cockeyed dreamer and just hope that things will happen. I also, you know, try to look at things from a realistic standpoint. So sometimes that can come off as a little pessimistic, but one time we were talking sometime recently, and I was joking. I said, "Well, you know me, I'm half full," and she just kind of went, "Oh, brother!" And I think I went on the radio soon after that, and as an inside joke to her, I brought it into the conversation somehow, saying that I was half full. And there's a joke there, right? Oh, you're half full. All right. Probably full of it. But I came home and there was a drinking glass on the counter and she put a note on there that says, you know, Mr. Half Full or something like that. I got such a kick out of it. I didn't take the note off the glass and I put it right back into the cabinet. And so we don't even use that glass anymore. Because I got such a kick out of that note. So the glass is in the back of the cabinet with the note on it, and I see it all the time. But, yeah, how many things do we do you think that you're going to incorporate? It'll be very interesting to see, you know, how much of what we're doing now is just busy work, is just temporary activity to pass the time or to get us through this, but or how many of the things that we're doing are actually enhancements to our lifestyles that we may not have tried. And now we go, huh, I never did that before or never thought about doing that on a regular basis, but now that I had the time, I do and I like it. So you have to look for the positives out of this because there certainly are enough negatives. And as we sit here today, there may be some light at the tunnel, but it's a pinhole. Especially if you live in a bigger urban area, and I'm in the Chicago area here, and in Illinois, dominated mostly by the Chicago area, you know, is still not out of the woods, and maybe not for a while. We're talking now about mid-May of the COVID outbreaks to maybe peak here, whereas the hope was it was going to be sometime in April, but April is pretty much headlights now, or I'm sorry, is taillights now. So here we go. So yeah, if you're in one of those states that are either can open soon or is breaking the norm, I guess, and opening up. Like Georgia is planning, I don't know, by the time this is posted, I'm recording this early, but there were plans for Georgia to open in a relatively substantial way, restaurants, even movie theaters. So we'll see if some states are jumping the gun as not. We would hate to let all this work that we've done in terms of social distancing and our efforts to mitigate this go to waste by some rash decisions in a effort to get back to whatever normal means. If you go back and listen when this started, I did say patience is important to get us through this, but actually even more than patience, I felt, and I think we're seeing it now, 4 or 5 weeks later, is to resist temptation, to resist the temptation to go back too soon. And now I think that's, I think we have shown patience, and I'm impressed at how Americans up to this point have freely, well, maybe if not accepted, they certainly have abided by the shutdown rules for the most part. We've talked about some of the COVIDiots, as they've been branded, of some people that have been very selfish and thinking about themselves early on. And there's still some of those, and you still see them. But now, as there's this effort to get things back and open things up, there are going to be some cities and states that are going to jump the gun, and hopefully they will not undo the good work that has been done up to this point. So we shall see. But yeah, are there any things that you've done over the last 4 or 5 weeks that you now do on a regular basis, on a daily basis maybe, that you maybe never have done before, or at least it wasn't a part of your routine like it is now? Because now we've fallen into routines. It's a new routine, but it's a routine nonetheless. And I'm just wondering, because I'm looking around at myself, and then you start looking around at others, and you see that there's a lot of either nervous energy or frantic energy. I'm not frenetic. I'm not sure what it is, but there is certainly, you feel, at least I do, there's a sense that you should be doing something, right? Don't we have that kind of guilt? I don't know. I think that's an American thing. It's one reason why we're the most successful country on earth in terms of economic, because that whole idea of working and moving forward, and inner ambition and drive is part of the American fabric, as opposed to some other countries where that's still there for them, but they also pride themselves on quality of life as well. And there's nothing wrong with that either, to some extent. But then you also have to realize that if you're going to be in that mode, I mean, some countries still take breaks during the day, close down the businesses to take breaks, or just kind of, aren't known as overly aggressive work types. They're more party animals. And that's fine, but then they do fall in the lower or middle echelons in terms of economic and means, which does unfortunately reflect on, the standard of living and the ability for people to have things and have careers, that are on an upward trajectory. So you take the good with the bad. Some cultures, that's fine. They don't want to be in the rat race, and that's fine. We are trying, we have gone so far to one side, as we do here in the United States, that we are trying to find that delicate balance while not losing our drive and ambition. And it's an inch, and we're struggling with it, and we're trying to find ways to have more of a life balance. You're hearing that now more and more. But I think there has to be a point where that it can't be a complete transformation, because then it's you're a different society. But I don't know. Are you doing anything? Have you taken anything up? Are you reading more? Are you watching some TV shows you haven't? Are you doing more things around the house? Have you taken up any crafts or any hobbies? How are you filling your day? And so I have, like everyone else, I've looked around. Now, I'm one of these folks that I'm not a procrastinator to a great extent, as I've mentioned many times on this podcast. And if you've come to know me through this, as much as you can, I love lists. I love to make lists, and there are few sensations, and I mean that. There are few sensations as intense and as satisfying as, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this. Making a list and then crossing the items off. Oh, wow. If I have a nice big list and I cross off five or six items in a day, wow, that's like smoking a cigarette afterward. So, yeah, I've been looking around the house, and I have on a regular basis, I don't really let things go. I will take on a project and do it to its completion. I don't start something and have five things going at the same time. I always tell my wife, finish what you start. A lot of people tend to start a lot of projects, and they never finish any of them. There's 17 going at the same time, and then nothing's ever done. And I always have a laser focus when it comes to that. I will start a project, I will finish that one, and then I will move on to the next one and finish that one. That's the way I move. So I've talked about, I do not like clutter. And if you have five different projects going on at one time, clutter is inevitable. So if you don't like clutter, then you finish what you start. That is my mantra, has been for many years. Finish what you start. My wife loves to bake, for instance. And, it's part of the game. Anybody that bakes knows that, you know, there's a lot of stuff that just is, you know, measuring cups and flour and baking soda and all this other stuff and measuring cups and measuring spoons and ladles and all, you know, all this stuff. And it's very easy when you're in the midst of baking to just kind of use what you're using and then move to the next thing. And my gosh, when you're done, it looks like a tornado came in. And I would, you know, being Mr. Non-Clutter, oh, I mean, I almost double over. And so I'm like, you know, you there's also, if you know you're just going to say make, you're not going to bake all day. You're just going to bake this one thing. I'm baking this cake. I'm baking these cookies. And after I use that measuring cup, I'm not going to use it again. It does take about 5 seconds to wash that out and put it in the dishwasher right after you use it. I know that it sort of breaks the flow, but there's a lot of downtime. Even in the midst of putting all your ingredients together for your baking, where you can, you know, do you notice how many, you know, errant spoons are laying around? You use, oh, I need a spoon. All of a sudden, there's five spoons. In the midst of baking, you can get rid of, you can systematically, once you use something, there's time, you know, while the mixer is mixing, you can actually, put a few things away, put some stuff in the dishwasher, put some stuff away. Oh, I don't need the flour anymore. I'm done with that. You can put that away. And I've suggested that to my wife in a calm way many years ago when I first saw the ruins or the aftermath of a baking, something. Oh, my God, now it's another hour to clean this up. Whereas in the midst of your entire baking process, you can put that stuff away and save another hour. And then what happens? You know, then after you're baking for a while, you're tired. And you go, I'll do it later. And then that's when the stuff sits. It's amazing how you take time at the time. And it takes 2 seconds to put something away while you're doing it. So I have to say, I suggested to my wife that, and now it's amazing. I think she saw the light. And she saw the advantages of that. And so she will now, when she's done, when she puts that thing in the, in, when she puts whatever she puts in the oven to bake it, and now wait for that, the kitchen is almost all clean already. So that's, once again, that's me. No, it's not easy living with me, folks. But I do make sense. You may not want to hear it all the time, but it makes sense. So I've been looking around the house and saying, okay, what do I need to do? Now, I knew right away from even the winter, and we even had a mild winter here in the Chicago area, but I could see that that the winter had taken its toll on our back porch in terms of the color of it. You know, you throw salt on the stairs and the elements here, you know, we go through all four seasons here, so the elements can be tough. And I could just see that the back porch was looking a little worse for wear. Hadn't painted it in a few years. It was actually chipping. You could see the wood underneath. It's a wood back porch. So I knew that was a project I had to do. And I discovered a, you know, the utility door on your garage. We have a garage that is not connected to our home. So it's a standalone garage. And obviously you have the big giant garage door, but then you have the side door. Well, in today's world, you just use the garage door, especially in our times now with the electric door opener. What's interesting is I would assume before the electric door opener technology, that side door, that utility door as it's called, got most of the use, because who would want to lug that giant garage door by hand? And I do remember when I was a little kid and I grew up, we also had a detached garage. And, you know, this is 40 years ago, and we never, you know, we did later, but for many years, my dad never even really used the garage. And so it became kind of an area to store things. We even rented it out to people. But our garage door was a manual garage door for many, many years, and that thing weighed a ton. So you would go into, plus our garage door, this is a home in the city. Our garage door, the main garage door, looked out into the alley, and the utility door was usually in the yard, so it was more convenient to go through the side door anyway. But nowadays, you just open that garage door with the garage opener, and it's just open. So that side door, it's almost like a forgotten door. And ours is on the side, and it's next to a fence practically, so you don't even really use it. Well, I happened to stroll, for whatever reason, in that little cubbyhole area just to sweep some stuff out, and I got a look at that door. And even though the door is, you know, it's kind of hidden and it's underneath the eaves of the roof, you know, it's been a while since I painted that, and it's one of those things, you know, where there, you know, I didn't strip the whole thing down when I painted it. Because it's this side door that no one ever sees. That's my view of it. So there's a lot of chip paint that I chip away the really bad paint. But then, you know, there's bubbly stuff that I just kind of paint over. But you literally can't see this door. You don't even know it's there. So I knew I had to paint that, even though no one saw it. But in case someone ever did, or just for me now, it's on my radar screen, knowing that door is there, sitting there peeling and looking bad, even though no one ever sees it, and I never see it, but I know now it's there, and I know it needs painting, so now that's something that I need to do. So that I knew I needed to do, and there's a few other things around the house. So certainly, I had a few early spring projects that I would have had regardless of the COVID shutdown, than I would have done. But now it just seems like they are much more, urgent, because you know there's something to do, and you certainly have the time to do them. And there, you know, it's interesting. You know, do we ever get over peer pressure? Do we ever really get over peer pressure? We know, we talk about peer pressure in high school, and when you're growing up, that you always do what the other kids do in an effort to, you know, be with the in crowd and keep up with the Joneses. And I think that's what happens later on. It's more not so much keeping up with the in crowd, but it is keeping up with the Joneses to some extent. You ever notice if you in your neighborhood, if somebody or even you start to do some fix up projects around the house, you'll notice more activity around your neighbors suddenly, and vice versa. If you notice them doing something, then you start to look around and go, well, if he's painting that or if she's doing that, I mean, why don't I do this? And you know, and it just it seems to spur on. I don't know if it's motivating to say, well, someone else is doing it, so why aren't I doing it? Or if it is kind of like, oh, well, if they're fixing up the front of their house, I'm gonna do the same thing, blah blah blah. So I have noticed now that the weather is getting a little nicer, some heightened activity surrounding me, around with my neighbors. And here's a funny thing too. So do you notice now, if you're in your home, which I assume and hope you are, do you find yourself looking out the window more than you ever used to? That's one thing that is now something that you might not have done as much. You just took it for granted. Just looking around the neighborhood, what's going on out there? Because what's interesting is we know nothing's going on. It's almost we want to see nothing. You're looking out there. Most of the time you look out your window to see something. Hey, come quick, take a look at this. But now, I don't know about you, but as I'm walking through my house on a regular basis, I'm stopping at different windows, at different areas of the house. Like the front, on our front door, we have a window. And I'm looking out the window. I move the shade and I take a look, and there's nothing there. Right? It's just across the street in front of the house. Every so often there'll be somebody walking, a lot of people riding their bikes and jogging. But that's it. And most times it is nothing. It's desolate. And yet I still look out the window. And I look out the back window, from the kitchen, and basically see our yard, maybe see a little of the neighbors because we're not that high up. And you look around your yard, okay, what's going on? Maybe I do need to do something there. I need to trim this, blah blah blah. And then if I go upstairs, that's the great view, right? That's the view. We have a room that overlooks our backyard. It's three-sided with windows. So we could see everybody, front, side, and side. And it's not real high, but it's high enough where you get a nice little aerial view of the surrounding area. So you can see not only your next door, but then even across on the other side of the fence, down at the back of the yard, and on the right and on the left, and see what's going on there. Now, I've never been a snoop, right? And it's just my wife and I, so we're not really snoopers. But when I was a little kid, it's so funny when we do grow up to be our parents, and we do grow up to be these other people that in our lives as well, that when we were little kids, there was a whole different perspective on life that you can't understand until you get there. And now I'm there. And so when I was a little kid, I had my group of friends in the neighborhood, and we used to play. You know, I lived, as I said, in Chicago. And so we used the alley until we could ride our bikes to a park. We used the alley as our main area of playing. We played baseball and hockey and basketball. I mean, you just went into the alley. When I was a little kid, we had a lot of kids on our block, and you would just go out into our alley, and you look down. I lived at one end of the block, and you look straight down the alley. There was so much activity in that alley. Between, you know, there were basketball hoops on garages. That was a common thing. And as I said, we used to play baseball, like wiffle ball and regular ball with a rubber ball. And we would make the bases as you know, with going from one fence and going to a sewer over in the middle of the alley, and then going to another person's fence was third base. And then there's this little hole right. I mean, it was too perfect, actually. Some of the natural things in the alley were perfect for what we needed. There was this hole where the concrete, the line of concrete from one side of the alley to the other, you know, there was this line of concrete, and then there was this hole right in the middle. And it wasn't a drain, it was a hole. But it was right in the middle, and that was perfect to be home plate. And it was actually a kind of wide enough where it could be home plate. And there was this sewer far away that was second base in the alley. And so we could make it was a narrow diamond. It was a narrow baseball diamond, but it was a diamond nonetheless. And I mean, that was our baseball diamond for many years until we were able to, until we were older and we took our bikes to the park. But we just used that alley, you know, and the great scene, if you've ever seen Wayne's World, I remember no scene better from Wayne's World than when Wayne and Garth were playing street hockey, and every time a car came down the street, they would go, "Car," and they'd move the net. Because that's what we always did. I loved hockey, still do. And that's where I learned. I learned how to play hockey in my alley. And once again, that line that I'm telling you about, this line of concrete that went from one side to the other, well, that was the goal line. So you set the net right up, you know, behind that line, and now that was the line that decided whether the puck went into the net or not. It was perfect. And there was another one just far enough down the alley the other way where you set up that net. Our ability to adapt that alley into so many playing surfaces and fields was amazing. Same thing with the basketball rim. You looked for a line in the concrete, and that, okay, this is where you take the free throw from. And it was always, the line was, or you said, okay, well, by that post then. If there wasn't a natural crack somewhere in the concrete that was a good distance, then you lined up, okay, you know, the free throw line is where that gate pole is or something. But we completely adapted this one alley into many playing surfaces. And what's so funny is that alley used to look so big. And I remember as I got older, I would look at that alley and say, oh my God, how the hell did we used to play hockey or basketball or baseball in this alley? It's so small, but it looked so big at one time in my life. But yeah, so you know, you take what you have, you know, and you make the best of it. And so there was this neighbor of mine. She lived across and right next door. And she was an older woman, and she probably didn't have a lot to do. And she, you know, her kids were older and gone. And so she just hated when anything got on her grass, especially in her backyard where we were playing. Now, it was inevitable when you're going to play basketball or baseball or hockey that the ball is going to go into someone's yard, right? Especially baseball. You're following the ball over the place. That's why we play with a wiffle. We started playing with a rubber-coated league ball, and then I broke a window in a garage one time on a beautiful line drive. It was an awesome hit. I have to say, I was so proud. I can still remember that hit. It was on the outside of the plate, and I went right with the pitch, and I hit a beautiful shot right into the window. And after that, after my dad had to go and fix the window, suddenly we were playing wiffle ball. We were playing with a wiffle ball or a plastic ball that wasn't going to hurt anything. It still went far enough, not as far as the rubber ball did or the league, but it made more sense, right? But whenever the ball went into her yard, we could feel her piercing eyes looking at us through her shades. And there were some times when the ball got close to her house where we couldn't even go get it. She would go out and take the ball. You hear those stories? I don't know if that happens anymore because kids don't even really play in their near their homes anymore. They're always at play dates. Although now I'm looking out my window. I'll get to that. And kids are playing catch in front of the yard again. Never saw that as much. But now they're quarantined, right? But there were times, and so, she used to take our ball sometime. And it's like, what are you doing with our ball? But she would always be looking out that window. Well, now, 40 years later, I'm looking out my window. And I'm not going to say the woman's name, but I and then my wife's looking out the window. Oh, look at it. And I say, I call my wife my next door neighbor's name now. When I was a little kid, her name. I'm like, hey, Mrs. Blank, what's going out in the neighborhood? You seem to have a pretty good idea. You're looking out that back window. You're looking out that front window. And then if I do it, she gives me the business too. But I'm finding myself looking out my windows a lot more often. Little side note, later as I got older in my teens, I started to cut grass in the neighborhood, make some money. And I cut her grass. Her husband passed away. And so I cut her grass for about 3 or 4 years. And she had a really nice lawnmower, so I just used her lawnmower. And so I would go in the basement, and you know what I found in her basement? Have you guessed it? I found a box filled, not filled, but a good number, shall we say, of all of our baseballs that she took. It was a weird thing. Did she think we weren't going to get a new ball? I mean, as soon as we lost the ball, okay, that game was over for about an hour until we went to the dime store down the street and bought a new ball, or at least the next day, and we were back out there again. But when the ball got too close to her house, she would all of a sudden, that door would open, and she would walk out there, and we would just be standing there, and there'd be this stare down. And she didn't even say anything. She never yelled. Well, a few times she would yell, get off my grass kind of thing. And it turned out that she wasn't really, she seemed like a mean woman at the time, right? Because she's taking her balls and kind of, looking out the window at us to see if the ball was going to go in the yard. But now I think back and I'm like, she was kind of lonely probably. Didn't have much to do. And so, looking out the window was maybe all she had. It's interesting how your aspects change. And of course, it changed for me because now she was paying me money. So now suddenly I was nice to her. And I think she was nice. I wonder if in the back of her mind that she felt a little bad maybe as time went on. Like, wow, why did I do that? That was silly. The kids were just trying to have some fun. And so we actually had a nice relationship into my teens and 20s. And then she ultimately passed away. But it was funny how when I was a little kid, she was the mean, grumpy, looking out the window neighbor who stole our balls. And later she became a nice woman that, I actually helped her out, brought her groceries sometimes and cut her grass. And we had a nice relationship. So anyway, I'm looking out my window a lot more often, and I am noticing a lot of activity going on. Some that so then you get sparked to do things. So A, I'm looking out my window a lot more than I used to. I don't know what I'm seeing, but I know I'm looking out the window. We just saw a fox in our yard. So we are seeing some cool stuff, too. We saw a fox just yesterday in our yard that then jumped up the fence and went up on our neighbor's garage. We don't live far from a forest preserve, and sometimes we've had deer in our yard just sitting there. And we have the usual menagerie of wild pests, if you will, your raccoons and your possums and your skunks. And I've had my problems with all of those. I've had raccoons in my attic and raccoons in my garage. I've had possums die in my yard and I had to pick them up. Squirrels running around. Skunks in the summer. All of a sudden we have the back window open, you know, do a little air in, and all of a sudden, whoa! Haven't had a confrontation with a skunk. But every so often, we will get a fox. This is our second fox that we've seen. And a couple of years ago, we had two different occasions where two different deer came in our yard and just sat around for several hours. So it's almost like a little safari. And I think one time I even saw a coyote. That was many years ago. So now that everybody's in, I think the animals are having their run of the run of everything. As I said earlier on this podcast, a few podcasts ago, we're seeing so many with so few people out on the streets, the animals are sort of extending their boundaries now. And then we're seeing the canals in Venice be as blue as they've never been in many years because all the sediment has gone back to the bottom of the water. It's not getting brushed up by all the cruise ships and all the bus and all the regular boats that are buzzing around delivering groceries and garbage in Venice. So my observation is this world would be a pretty nice place to live in if we didn't live here. The animals, I think, are enjoying this. Where, I don't know, they're probably saying, I don't know where all those people went, but I'm glad and I hope they don't come back. But I do notice myself kind of looking out the window just as either entertainment. It's not snooping, right? It's not snooping. It's curiosity, right? Is that the rationalization I'm going to use? But anyway, so I noticed that as I went to the upstairs and looked out in our three windowed room, a lot of activity going on. I heard a saw on one side of us, and then I saw a bunch of planks of wood, you know, just laid out on the grass of the other of our other neighbor, and there's some trees, so I couldn't really get a good look. Not that I'm snooping. It's not snooping. It's just interesting. It's inquisitive observation, if you will. And so I'm noticing now, I'm wondering, and I need your help on this. I appreciate over the last several weeks or so when I've asked for it, and so I'll continue to ask because I enjoy it. If you listen to the podcast and you have a comment or you have a question, please feel free to go to my Facebook page. I post the link to the podcast on my Facebook page three times a week on Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. And if you listen with regularity and you have a question or a comment, negative or positive, whatever it is, or just a question about something I spoke about, feel free to, you know, put a comment on the Facebook page. I check it every day, and I'd be happy to respond. I do want to say, in fact, now that I think of this, I got a comment from a podcast listener named Jim. Sounds like he's a regular listener, and he was commenting on my podcast of last week, episode 204, where I said my hot water heater, and I love this stuff. So I don't take offense to this at all. Of course it's a hot water heater. If it's a heater, then it's going to make the water hot, and you're not heating hot water. So it's just a water heater. But I was talking about my hot water heater. Completely wrong. inappropriate, wrong use, wrong name, makes no sense. It makes no sense to call it a hot water heater. It's a water heater. It heats the water. If it was a hot water heater, it means that the water was already hot. Why would you need a heater to heat hot water? You wouldn't. So don't ever say hot water heater. At least I've heard that. And I repeated it several times, I think, on the last one. I know I did. In fact, when I was saying it on the podcast, I knew it was wrong, but it's what I always call it. But it's wrong, and I will never call that again. It's a water heater, not a hot water heater. So thank you, Jim. I take no offense in that. And he also mentioned that cement is not a word that can also be used to describe concrete. Cement is an ingredient in concrete. So you don't say, oh, I'm the cement. No, it's the concrete. Concrete, apparently, cement is an ingredient of concrete. I did not know that. That is wild, weird stuff. I know, and I'm sure, just in common usage, that I have easily used concrete or cement to use the same thing, and it's not. And I appreciate being explained that. I like those little knowledge-y, I love those little tidbits of things that we see every day, that we do every day. We don't even think twice, but it's like, no. I've got one for you. This one's been driving me crazy when it finally dawned on me. And I hear it all the time, and it drives me nuts. And I've been meaning to mention it here, so I'm so glad that Jim brought up this idea of the hot water heater, of which I was making a mistake on, as well as I was talking about concrete, I believe, in my garage. I was talking about things that broke down around my home over the last couple of months. And so cement is an ingredient of concrete. I will never say cement again. I will say on the concrete. So thank you. And I will never call it a hot water heater. It is just a water heater. Thank you. But here's one that drives me crazy. I'm hearing a lot. So this whole idea, I remember it came up maybe some 10, 15, 20 years ago. It was used in the context of your favorite albums. And people said, what would be your desert island discs? This is when CDs were first, were still the dominant format. Now CDs have gone away by the wayside. Everything's digital. Some people are trying to bring back vinyl. Fine. It's a niche. It's, I understand. I don't want to get into the vinyl thing. I've been through that already. If you listen to me, I grew up listening to vinyl. So it doesn't sound better. And you have to lift the thing up after five songs, and there's pops and hisses and scratches. And I understand the need for something tangible, especially with the younger people, because they grew up with digital files. And yes, I've said for years, albums were so cool, but they also had their downside. And if you're there for the music, digital, even if it may be a little more, sterile, there's no pops and hisses and skips. So anyway, regardless of that. So the question was, what would be your 5 or your 10 favorite, desert island discs? And now it's desert island albums. What would be your 5? And obviously the comparison is you were out on an island by yourself and you needed your favorite music with you. What would be the 5 or the 10 best albums that you had for the rest of your life? You're on this deserted island and that's all you could play. What is the music that you would need to have? And I fell into this trap, right? But it occurred to me several years ago, and I've pointed out whenever I hear it to people, and they just kind of look at me strange, but this is what drives me crazy. So I will pass on my neuroses to you. But you will notice, as I said before, that it may be anal and it may be crazy, but it's right. I always feel like Larry David from Curb Your Enthusiasm. Yes, Larry can be a jerk at times, but 99% of the time, he is right. He's pointing things out that are ridiculous and that people don't feel as strongly as he does, but he's usually right. Now, I don't know if Larry David is the perfect person to either identify with or base your life on because, you know, it's he doesn't have many friends, which might explain stuff for me, too. But here's the thing. Okay, now just stay with me on this, okay? It's not a deserted island. I'm sorry. They say you're desert island, right? Am I even saying it wrong there? They say you're desert island disc, right? You're desert island. It's not a desert island. How could it be an island in a desert? No such thing. It's deserted island, which means that now you're by yourself and you need this music. But it's a deserted island. It's not a desert island. Everybody says desert island discs. It's not desert island. The desert is a huge landmass of sand. There's no islands in the desert. Why do you think everybody is thirsty? Because there's no water in the desert. An island, by definition, is land that is surrounded completely by water. You cannot say desert island disc, desert island album. It doesn't make sense. It's a deserted island. It's deserted. There's no one there. It's remote. It's deserted. That's why you're alone, and that's why you need your music that you love, because you're by yourself forever. You're deserted. You're by yourself. So do not say desert island. No such thing. It's a deserted island. Whew. See how passionate I get? But that one drives me crazy. So I will not say hot water heater anymore. I will not say concrete and cement is the same thing. But you out there have to promise me, and I need you to get on your soapbox. And if you hear this, and if you hear someone use this phrase, desert island disc, desert island album, desert island food, to connote this idea of your all-time favorite thing, if you hear someone say desert island, say, can't be, no such thing. It's a deserted island. Not a desert island. Now, it's spelled the same way. I could see why, desert and desert are spelled the same way. Or deserted and desert are spelled the same way. Now, don't forget, desert has two S's. That's a whole different thing. We won't get into that. But it's not a desert island. It's completely impossible. You can't have a desert island. Can't have an island in the desert. So here's so I'm looking out my window. Let me get back to that. Looking out my window upstairs in my three-windowed room. And I noticed that there's some building going on with the next-door neighbor. So that's always interesting, right? What's going on over there? Whenever you hear a saw, whenever you hear, nails in the neighborhood, there's always, it's not snooping. Remember, it's just inquisitive observation. So I was inquisitively observing through my window what was being built next door. And as the construction was going on for about 2 days, there were quite a few hypotheses going on in the Toronto home as to what was being built in the yard. It was not an extension of the house. there were not construction workers. In fact, it was someone that lives in the house that was making this. So this wasn't like a professional built thing going on. This was kind of a project, if you will. So now that piqued the inquisitive observation even more. What's going on over there? And as I said, you know, I don't get a clear view because of these damn trees that are in the way. So we had to sort of guess because this was kind of happening behind a tree. It offered some visual openings, you know, on either side of the tree, but it's kind of a big, bushy tree. Damn tree. Anyway, but as this structure began to take shape, it was clear, at least I didn't know what it was, but my wife did. And she said, oh, that looks like they're building like a garden, like a not just where you're just planting stuff, like, you know, digging out, but they're actually, you know, going to hang things from, there were like planks, not a closed roof, but, you know, some planks open so the sunlight can get in. But I guess this is the new trend now. You build these kind of quasi structures that you can have a garden in the ground. It's elevated a bit. It's kind of structured. It's not just in the ground. There's a building around it with, but it's wide open. And even the roof is open so the sunlight can get in. Apparently you can also hang pots or plants from the roof to hang and get the sun as well. I was not aware of these. But when I went online, I noticed that there are quite a few of these now. They seem to be like kind of pre-made. You just order the kit and they send you. Now, I used to make models when I was a kid, but those were very manageable. You know, they came in a small little box. You put them on a table. So when I think of a kit or a model kit, I think of that. My gosh, I would never want to try to put together this thing. This looked like major stuff. This would be for me, if I wanted to put one of these up in my yard, I would have to call the guy. This is a call the guy thing. I would never even attempt. But more power to my neighbor who got the kit, apparently, laid it out on the grass and built the thing. And so I'm assuming that they're going to begin to plant as the spring is here, and maybe they're going to be planting, I don't know, whether flowers, or maybe they're going to be planting, I would assume they're going to be planting vegetables of some kind to eat. You know, everybody loves their tomato plants, right? Vito Corleone from The Godfather died tomato bushes. This thing is kind of like that, but there's a little more structure around it. There's planks that with big spaces where you would put drywall in between if you were making a wall, but it's obviously going to be open so the sun can and the elements can get it in terms of rain as well as sun. So it's kind of like a natural garden, but yet it's got some structure to it. As I said before, I think you can hang some plants from the other planks that go across as a roof kind of thing. But I'd never seen this before. But I went online, and they're all over the place. There's all different kinds. There's all different shapes. Some are big. Some are not. This is a fairly big one. Next neighbor has a fairly good yard, good sized yard. They were able to find a plot and build this. So I assume they're going to be planting, you know, a whole bunch of different kinds of things that they would consume. Some kind of sustainable garden, I guess. I don't know. I've never been a huge garden guy. I've never planted. My mom and dad, we never had tomato plants or cucumbers. Although one year my wife tried to plant a pumpkin. Have you ever done that? I mean, you don't realize, you know, I know why pumpkins aren't, they're not cheap sometimes. Aside from the weight, have you ever seen how a pumpkin grows? The vines are like miles long. It really takes up. My wife planted these pumpkin seeds in a part of our yard, and they took over the whole yard. I had no idea. I thought pumpkins grew on trees. I didn't know. I'm just joking, but I had no idea that they were that the vines became this entity that took over our yard practically. And then at the end of the day, I don't even know what happened, but the pumpkin that we got out of this was like a baseball. I'm like, how big are the vines for a pumpkin that weighs 50 pounds or 20 pounds? Because this little thing weighed about, I don't even know, and the vines were all over the place. But we've got some landscaping and some plants and bushes and things. I'm happy to water those every so often. My wife likes to plant, you know, flowers in the yard. But we never did that. And, you know, once again, you know, you really are who you grew up to be in many ways. And I, you know, we had a yard that was, you know, that had, you know, bushes and things. It was nicely put together, but, you know, they were kind of self-sustaining. Didn't really have to water them all that much. And we didn't ever plant cucumbers and radishes and basil and all that stuff that people do sometimes. I'm not even that crazy about it. Everybody says, well, here's some tomatoes that we grew in our yard. And I don't know, is it just me? The tomatoes that you grow in the yard, in your own yard? I mean, I guess there's some, you know, kind of personal satisfaction of doing that on your own, right? That's fine. I'm not judging at all. Just inquisitively observing. But those, I don't know if there's a different kind of tomato. They're always the ones that people always grow at home. Maybe they always just buy this one because it's a hardier tomato. I don't know. Maybe it's easier to grow. Maybe that's why. But it always seems like the tomatoes that people give you that they grew in their yard, they always have a lot more seeds. They're bigger, but they're more watery. There's a lot more seeds. I don't like a seedy tomato. No pun intended. And everybody says, well, we grow this in my yard. Well, I mean, so did the farmer, right? I mean, the farmer grew those tomatoes and the cucumbers and all those other fruits and vegetables that are in the store. He grew those in his yard. It's just a much bigger yard. It's not as if there's manufactured fruit and vegetables, and then there's homegrown ones. The homegrown ones are the same as the ones in the store. They were all grown in someone's yard. It just depends on how big and how much equipment it takes to bring them in. But they were all grown in someone's yard, whether it's your own yard or whether it was a farmer's yard. It was still their yard. So I guess there's some personal pride and satisfaction of planting them and caring for them and then, you know, picking that thing, and, you know, this was a seed 5 months ago that I put in the ground, and now it's something that I'm eating. I get that. It's a circle of life. I understand that. I have no problems with that. But at the end of the day, really, I mean, it's just a tomato, and it comes from everybody's. Everybody grows them in their yards, whether it's in your own personal yard, in your garden, or it's out, you know, in the fields. Well, I bring this up because then I take a look to my left and my wife goes, wait, our neighbor on the other side is building one of these gardens. Theirs is not as big as the one on the right, but on the left. But now, so we are surrounded by these new homemade gardens. Now, I'm wondering, am I missing out on some trend here? Because now, I mean, I'm the only one in these three houses without my own garden. I'm not going to build one, I'll tell you that much. As I said, I have to call the guy if I did. And, you know, we have a grocery store literally two blocks from my house, which has the same cucumbers and the same tomatoes from a farmer's yard. So that's not something that I'm going to, you know, put into my routine. But I did. I must say, I'm very proud of myself. I did not call the guy on this, and I just did this week. I painted the good old porch. It took me about 5.5 hours to do it. there's a lot of little, you know, planks and all that stuff with, you know, the stairs and all that and underneath and everything. But I was very proud of myself. So, I mean, I can understand, you know, there's nothing like when you do one of these do-it-yourself projects, there's really nothing better than standing away from it and looking at it and going, okay, it wasn't like that 3 hours ago and now it looks cool and I did that. So I get it. If you want to plant and grow stuff, more power to you. I just didn't know that the self-sustaining urban garden is now something that people are putting in their yards. I didn't know that. I'm not going to do that. If I put anything in my yard, I love a good gazebo. About 10 years ago, we built a nice little patio fire pit thing where we go out in the yard. And I've enjoyed that very much. But I do love a gazebo. And I've actually toyed, as much as we've had this for 10 years now, I'm actually wondering if I would take out my patio and put a gazebo in. Because we had some really nice shading over our patio, natural shading with some trees. One of our neighbors cut down one of their major trees because it was falling apart. And it totally now opens up the entire sky over our patio. And I'm going to I've got a couple of umbrellas to hide the sun in the mid part of the afternoon. But the trees did a nice job, at least, you know, for a good part of that. But now that one tree is gone. And I don't know if I should build one of these things called a pergola. Once again, I ain't building it, right? I got to call the guy. That's always expensive. But I always love a gazebo. When you see those old movies, they had gazebos. And some parks have gazebos. And they're just kind of cool. And I've always thought they looked so neat. And there's actually a few in my neighborhood. And I hope that the people that I never see anybody in the gazebos when I'm driving by. I'll actually drive by these certain streets where I know there are a couple of gazebos just to look at them and go, oh, a gazebo. But I never see anyone sitting in them. I hope that they're not just there for decorative purposes. I hope the people sit in them sometime because it's nice. It's shaded. It's open and yet it's enclosed. That's what I love. It's got its defined space. You walk up some stairs. You feel like you're inside when you're outside. You're covered from the elements by the roof. I don't know. I always love a gazebo. I actually, there's sometimes when I'm driving by these gazebos in the neighborhood, and I would love to just sort of, like, you know, case the place, make sure no one's there. And I would just love to go in the people's yard, jump the fence, and go and sit in their gazebo for a few hours and just hang out. But then, of course, there's a stranger in our gazebo, and I would get arrested. But I have in the back of my mind, in a perfect world, I would be a gazebo squatter. And I can't put a gazebo in my yard now. There's not enough room, and it would be too jammed. So I either have to, you know, make a decision. I probably won't, but gosh, I wish I had a gazebo. So that's if I was going to do something, I certainly wouldn't build it myself, obviously. Can't do that. But that would be my trend. Amidst the two gardens, I would have my gazebo. But yeah, apparently these gardens are the hip thing. But as I have said to you on many occasions, whenever there's something very popular, I don't run toward it. I run away from it. So you won't be seeing a garden in my yard. But I'm surrounded by sustainable gardens now. So that must be a new trend. Anyway, things that we have discovered or are starting to do now as we sit in quarantine. I don't know. Have you picked up anything? I haven't really picked up any new hobbies, but I have been doing a few more projects. Very proud of my porch. And now I'm looking, and very proud of the side door, which I painted black. And then because I got some in the inside, I had to paint the inside of it black. And now it looks pretty cool. So it was a nice mistake. So I did get the utility door painted inside and outside. I did paint the porch. And I may have to spray paint the metal chairs that we have on the patio. So that's what I'm going to be doing for the next couple of weeks. What have you been doing? And will you keep doing it when the shutdown's over? And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNplus.com or wherever you find your favorite podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, rate the podcast, and most importantly, tell your friends. If you are a loyal listener to this podcast, your devotion and your input is always appreciated and welcome. Hope you enjoyed episode 205. I'm Jim Tirano. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. You've been listening to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. From the end of the web to your screen. Remember, there is no such thing as a desert island.